Today, you get to pick your seat. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Tuesday. Now, what do I say? If you're a regular listener, you know what's coming. What do I always say on Tuesday? Quoting St. Peter, his letter, his first letter, cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. Well, that brings up all the questions about whether we really believe God cares for us. Whether we want to take the risk of saying, here, God, I'm handing them all over. I can't carry them all anymore. They're depriving me of my sleep. I'm starting to have all kind of physical problems. I'm being weighed down. Here, I'm handing them over to you. In fact, I'm throwing them. Isn't that what the word kind of cast means? I'm casting them into your hands because I believe. And that's always underneath each one of these statements, an act of faith. I believe that you care for me. I believe that you will work in these situations. In your time, doing what you think is best about the situation, about these cares that I have. Do it, folks, okay? Cast your cares upon the Lord. Today's scripture passage comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 31. Jesus says, many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. And you know the contents of that, of course. It's when the disciples are arguing about who's the greatest among them. Then, you know, Jesus taught an upside-down theology. You listen to this program, you know that's not a new concept that I'm voicing right now. You know that Jesus, his philosophy of life, flies in the face of the modern world's philosophy of life. When it comes to power, when it comes to self-centeredness, when it comes to greed, all those things, what the world says will make you happy. Jesus says, that will make you happy. This will make you happy. So Jesus is always, for a good bit of the time, Jesus talks in paradoxes, like today's quote. Many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. You know? When he tells the people, when they go to a wedding banquet, sit in the back, and this, hopefully, if you're a dear friend of the host, he'll see you and say, hey, what are you sitting way back there for? Come up front. And the people who rush up to take the front places, if the host really doesn't know you, you're barely an acquaintance, he'll say, excuse me, but we need to make room here, okay? So, I have to laugh, though, you know? Because sometimes people misinterpret what Jesus is trying to say about that. Let me give you an example, and many of you know this. A church service. And the church I know best is the Roman Catholic Church. And being a traveling preacher, I have been in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches in my many years of priesthood. And I can tell you that there are some people who get to the Mass easily half an hour early to get the last row. Now, perhaps they're getting the last row for a variety of reasons, and I'm not being judgmental here. Let me share with you the ones that I have noticed firsthand or by observation, or people actually telling me. Well, Father, I sit in the last row because I'm claustrophobic, and sometimes I just have to get away. If it's a real crowded one, I have to get up. Or, Father, I have a bad back, and I have to stand up and stretch every once in a while. Well, those are both legitimate. Father, I have to leave for work before the Mass is over, especially if there's a long-winded preacher. And so I sit in the back so I don't distract people. Another possibly good reason. But what about the people who get into church because they want to sit in the back and talk? And talk and talk and talk, and they have no idea. Their stage whisper is so loud. It's a distraction for other people who are coming to pray. Or those people who sit in the back because they don't want to participate. They really don't want to participate in the ritual. They sit there with their arms crossed. They won't take a missalette. They won't take a hymnal. I mean, I've seen that too, many, many times. Sometimes the last row is reserved for ushers. And after they take care of their responsibilities, they sit in that last row, and sometimes they talk during the Mass. And if they were to say, well, I'm just following Jesus' admonition, I'm going to take the last row, hopefully, so I can be in the first row sometimes, or the first row in church, these people would faint if the priest said, well, all the people in the last row comes forward. Because there's been times when I've had a scattering of people throughout the church, and I ask them to come forward so it'd be no problem for them to hear me or to interact with me. Asking people to come to the front seats, like pulling teeth, it's like they're being embarrassed. They're taking a risk, whatever they think the risk is, that there's going to be a quiz or I'm going to, use them as an example. No. So that would be an example of a false understanding of what Jesus is saying. Many are first as last, and last will be first. Perhaps some people think that's a humble thing to do. Like the two men went up to the temple to pray. The one stood in front, the Pharisee. He said, oh God, I thank you for not making me like the rest of the people, especially that guy in the back, because it was, a publican who's on knees, not even looking up towards the sanctuary and striking his breast and say, please be merciful to me, a sinner. Please be merciful to me, a sinner. So some people might have this concept of humility, They want to be humble. But we have to be careful about false humility. False humility is when people are denying their gifts, when people are saying critical things about themselves, which is not true, when people are using body language to make them look like they're inferior. That's not. Humility is truth. We're all beloved sons and daughters of the Father. No matter humble we want to be, we should never do anything to take away the realization in our hearts and minds, or in other people's hearts and minds who meet us, that we're not beloved sons and daughters of the Father. Do you want to be humble? Listen. Life will humble you. Get your hands dirty. Get involved with life. Don't be a spectator. Especially around children. If you're going to be around children, they will humble you. They will humble you by their comments. They'll correct when you say something, the way you pronounce something. Being genuinely last, with a proper understanding of what this scripture passage is referring to, is that we simply allow other people's needs to be met before ours. We come to serve and not to be served, like Jesus. We realize that we're just passing through. That when we start to fuss and huff and try to push our own agenda, well, it's not about us. A true follower of Jesus Christ always has to realize it's not about him or her. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus' people. About service. And then when we do serve others, we meet their needs before ours, then someday we're going to hear in heaven, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Music to my ears as I grow older. I mean, it's crucial to remember Jesus saying, because you were faithful over a few things, I'm going to put you over many. Never think this world is all there is. Now, people around you today, lots of people think that. Well, this is all there is. Never go in that direction. Because then you move into a mentality you gotta grab for everything now. You gotta scrape, crawl, grab, scratch to get it all now. And how many times in the history of the world and in our country we have seen that people who do that, they do it on the backs of the poor. They do it on the backs of the simple and the sick and the those who have no power and no voice in government. Be careful about that, okay? You want to be first? You want to have some of those first row seats in heaven? And there's an infinite number of those. You got to serve. Be last. You know who I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for people who have some type of an addiction. Oh, how tough that is. Whatever the addiction is, it's become their God. No matter how long they have suffered from the addiction, the rest of their life they're going to have to be in recovery. They're going to have to really keep handing their life over to God, or as I say at the beginning of every Tuesday program, cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. And food for thought for today, Albert Schweitzer said this, "The only ones among you who will really be happy are those who will have sought and found how to serve." Amen to that, right? All right, today's joke is a little longer, but I like it. A mangy-looking guy who goes into a bar, he goes into a bar and orders a drink. The bartender says, "No way, I don't think you can pay for it." The guy says, "You're right, I don't have any money, but if I show you something that you haven't seen before, will you give me a drink?" The bartender says, "Okay. Only if what you show me ain't risque." "Deal," says the guy, and reaches into his coat pocket and pulls out a hamster. He puts the hamster in the bar, and it runs to the end of the bar, climbs down the bar, runs across the room, up the piano, jumps on the keyboard, and starts playing a tune. And the hamster is really good. The bartender says, "You're right. I've never seen anything like that before. The hamster is truly good on the piano." The guy dons the drink and asks the bartender for another. "Money or another miracle, or else no drink," says the bartender. The guy reaches into his coat again, pulls out a frog. He puts the frog on the bar, and the frog starts to sing. He has a marvelous voice and great pitch, a fine singer. A stranger from the other end of the bar runs over to the guy and offers him $300 for the frog. The guy says, "It's a deal." He takes the $300 and gives the stranger the frog. The stranger runs out of the bar. The bartender says to the guy, "Are you some kind of nut? You sold a singing frog for $300? It must have been worth millions. You must be crazy." "Not so," says the guy. "The hamster over there is also a great ventriloquist." Good joke. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Love to hear from you. Send me your prayer intentions. I will faithfully take them to prayer. Let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. It comes out 6 times a year, no charge for it. You can give me a check from my hospital for the very poor in Oaxaca, Mexico. You make the check out to TASH. Tash Inc. and send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace where there is hatred. Let me sow love where there is injury, pardon, where there is doubt, faith, where there is despair, hope, where there is darkness, light, and where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord.